Flipping back to Sinit and Neb, can you talk a little bit about the cardiac issues?
Important ones. And they observed in their studies in patients with gastrointestinal stromal tumors that about 10% of patients had a decrease in their cardiac ejection fraction.
Why did they measure that?
It was mandated by the FDA.
Had something been seen preclinically?
I think in some of their phase one studies, they had some hint that there may be cardiac toxicity. So they were required to look at cardiac function and cardiac conduction. Conduction abnormalities weren't seen, but the functional abnormalities were. And what's really interesting is that their ejection fractions may drop below 45%, but when the drug is held for the holiday of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the ejection fraction returns to normal. There is a very finite percent of patients who have congestive heart failure, but it's quite low. It's probably less than 1%. So the cause of this particular finding is not really clear. It's an abnormality, certainly. And I always tell people to remember that the patients that were treated on the clinical trials really were selected to have no cardiac disease for the most part. When we start to treat patients in normal practice who have impaired cardiac function, a history of atherosclerotic heart disease, and so on, we may start to see some different effects. We don't know that as yet. And I think in the adjuvant setting where you're going to try to give this drug for a year becomes a concern as to whether you'll see any long-term cardiac effects. Something we have to watch for. I think the risk-benefit ratio is acceptable at this point in time. I don't think it's such that it precludes anybody from using the drug. I think you just have to remember that this can occur. We lived through the anthracyclines for many years, so we understand not necessarily how cardiac toxicity occurs, but a little bit how to watch for it and, you know, what to observe in the patient population who we're treating.
Any speculations about mechanism of cardiac toxicity?
We don't know at this point in time. It's not clear.
And for practical purposes in a non-protocol setting, how often do you think EF should be measured?
And I think if you're going to treat somebody who has a history of cardiac disease or a risk factor, I would do a baseline and then perhaps again at 3 months, just as a way of following that patient. I have no reason to suspect it's going to occur. If it occurs in about 10 to 20% of patients and it's something that's reversible, fine. If it's something that's not reversible, you want to know it. I don't know. I'm not sure that that recommendation is also a solid one. I just think vigilance is what's necessary here. So I would do a baseline, though, if you have a suspect patient, because if their ejection fraction is low to start with, then you clearly want to watch them carefully.
So you wouldn't do it in other patients?
I wouldn't do it in other patients. It would be overkill to do it in everybody at this point in time.
What about people just based on age?
Although it's a risk factor for cardiac disease, I don't have any reason to recommend it that it be done in patients over the age of 70 or 75. So I would go more by their history of risk factors in cardiac disease.